What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
We are live in Las Vegas by Radio Row in the bathroom, specifically a non-handicapped stall, as we get you ready for Super Bowl 58 between Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, who for some reason are still 2-point favorites. It just makes no damn sense. So we might have some people stopping by in Radio Row fashion. I'm gonna let that person finish their business. What's happening here is, since I'm doing it from the stall in Vegas, and we don't have a producer, just people are just coming up, and occasionally you've heard a double tap from the person in the stall next to me, and that usually means, not always, but that has usually meant that we have a guest. We might have Frank Thomas later, but we're not 100% sure. There have been, though, Brian McDonald and for Sean Mapes, there have been a couple of people that have double tapped, and they have not been looking to join the Paul Gallant show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Would you say they were let down when they found out what was in the stall was a radio show?
They were let down, and they
didn't meet their expectations as to what the double tap would get them.
Right. In a way, Brian, they were trying to book me. They were trying to
book you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, some.
Did they have a promo code to book you? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you got going on.
No. There's no promo code, BMAC, but they were offering me money. And I said, listen, I'm busy until noon. And what happens afternoon, it's none of your damn business. This the Paul Gallant show is only a 2-hour experience, and you know, we're gonna leave the rest of the theater of the imagination, thanks to the magic of radio, from a bathroom stall in Las Vegas. Not handicapped, because we wouldn't do that. We're not bad guys. Okay, is that a bad thing? And again, I've had some issues
using the handicap stall.
Yeah, is that bad? Like, if there's no other stall,
like. I've used it before.
I've used it to get changed.
Myself.
Whenever I've ever used a bathroom to get changed, I've usually used the handicap stall, and I just move as quickly as I can because I don't want to be the guy who gets exposed as a handicap stall user.
Well, sometimes the regular stalls are just like, it's not even that they're not like wide, they're just too shallow. Like when you try to open the door, you can't open the door fully.
Yeah, and you're a bigger guy than me.
I am.
So.
I wasn't even talking about that aspect. I'm just talking about literally opening the door. You're like, there's not enough room to open the door.
Some of them are really small. They don't have hooks. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, well, I do need to use this.
Exactly.
But sometimes you just want this.
Every time you do use it, I think, I don't know if you've seen this, but I think of the Curb Your Enthusiasm scene where Larry gets called for,
I haven't watched the new episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm
yet. I'm anticipating, but I haven't watched it yet.
Someone's asking me, is it a unisex stall? No, it's not.
I mean, it could be.
A couple of weeks ago.
Depends on who comes up.
Well, it depends on the city it's in, too.
Yeah.
Las Vegas is not like Austin, because BMAC, I don't know if you heard this, but a couple of weekends ago when I was in Austin, I got kicked out of a bar because I cut a line, I say in quotation marks, of women outside of what I found out was a unisex bathroom.
Oh, so you thought there was two bathrooms.
But it had a urinal in it.
and there's a long line, and they were like, "Will you cut the line?" And I said, "Well, none of you are using it." And I think the me arguing with them turned into them wanting to kick me out.
You tried to mansplain the bathroom to them, and it got you kicked out.
I mean, yes, because I have a penis, and I can tell, and that means that I can use the urinal unless you are you're good on that front, or you got one of those things. The girls have this thing. I'm not even kidding. Seen this before.
Okay.
You can put it in your purse, and basically it allows you to go to the bathroom as if you got something to work with.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very strange. Yeah, I think it's...
I haven't seen that infomercial.
For the rare times where they gotta go and the bathroom line's a little bit too long or whatever. Anyway, this is too much potty talk. But we are live in a bathroom stall in Las Vegas. This is a big offseason for the Houston Texans because you want to make sure that you take that next step. You don't want to be the Jacksonville Jaguars of last year. So, with that in mind, we are putting together a list of things that we would like to see the Houston Texans address in free agency. Let's continue that countdown.
Got Houston on my back because I love the city I'm from. Hands up if you feel that.
Houston Texans free agency watch.
Money does buy happiness when you give it away.
2024.
Y'all know what time it is? Texans
Swarm!
Hell yeah. So as I've said before, I don't think the Texans are going to do as much as you want them to do in free agency, mainly because they have important questions to answer about who they're bringing back. They have all that cap space. I would say right now, the guys that they can bring back, I definitely want Jonathan Grenard back, led the team in sacks this past season, Devin Singletary back. He does work in this system as a running back. I don't think you're going to have to pay him much. I would also like them to keep Kyahmi Fairbairn and Cam Johnston, your kicker and punter. It gets a little bit trickier with Dalton Schultz, with Steven Nelson, with defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, with defensive end Derek Barnett, with George Fant, with Noah Brown. There are, I think, some guys that...
I'm in with you for a few of those names. When you got into, Steven Nelson, who's like 31...
played well last year, though.
I know, but...
Short-term deal.
Some of the defensive linemen are, like you mentioned, like Barnett and Sheldon Rankins are either 30 or approaching 30. I'm out on those. And I view Dalton Schultz as... He's just Jake Ferguson, who ended up replacing him in Dallas. I don't see him as anything special to the market, but I definitely would like to see the Texans bring back Kyahmi Fairbairn, Cam Johnston, and Jonathan Grenard as long as the contract talks don't get out of control.
Right. So I'm on the same page for the most part with Schultz. I don't know that you can do better, and you have to draft the guy.
Let's see how the market reacts to him, but I wouldn't pay top price.
I agree. I he's probably best case scenario looking at like another 1 or 2 year deal or something like that somewhere else. But list of things that I would like to see them address in free agency. We brought this up a couple of times. Center, safety, or a linebacker with coverage ability. We talked about Patrick Queen on a previous edition of Texans Free Agency Watch. We're probably out on him because he's not very good in coverage. Defensive lineman. And, of course, it's the sexiest position. You want to splurge on something like I like to splurge on my Hawaiian shirts. Wide receivers was a position where it would be fun to see them splurge on. Mike Evans, I'm in. T. Higgins, I'm in. Michael Thomas, I'm out. Now, at the Pro Bowl, there was a lot of flirting, perhaps tampering, being done by C.J. Stroud. Now, that touchdown pass that he threw to Ja'Marr Chase was effing awesome. And I guess this was caught on a microphone because I was unable to find the audio of it anywhere. But Ja'Marr Chase said, "C.J., I know you want to come play with me, brother. Come on." And this was acknowledged by Ja'Marr Chase on his own Twitter account after the Pro Bowl games were done, where he said, "LOL, I'm not leaving. My dog Joe, that easy. Y'all relax." But I don't know. And it led to some toxic discourse between Texans and Bengals fans about who's better, Joe Burrow or C.J. Stroud. I know that the two went up against each other earlier in the year. I know that C.J. Stroud was the victor. I will say C.J. Stroud had a horrible interception in that game that almost gave the Bengals a chance to win that thing. Something you should keep in mind in that game, because that was a bad, probably his worst mistake of the year. But if I'm picking, between these two right now, today, February 6, 2024, I would take Joe Burrow over CJ Stroud.
It's close, though. It's real close, though. At least, I mean, look,
no.
It's not real close?
No.
If I'm Ja'Marr Chase, I wouldn't leave. You're already established in the system. But I'm talking just from a standpoint, if you're not a true free agent. Like, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase is not a free agent. Mm-hmm. But let's say Mike Evans or T. Higgins, who's a free agent. I consider it close if I'm deciding on who to play with.
Long term, definitely. Everything's on the table. Right now, I have seen Joe Burrow win a playoff game with no help against teams that are better than him. I
can't forget, in the game against the Texans, if Tyler Boyd didn't make that drop in the end zone, exactly. Bengals win.
Totally different story. So, don't get me wrong. Like, this is not the conversation that DJ Bieniemy and I had where I'm saying Lamar Jackson sucks. I was like, no, we're talking about like three versus like five with Stroud versus Jackson.
And that's my point. I think it's close, like three versus five, like you said.
Right. And with Burrow, it's like two against three. And I would say Burrow is two. I've seen Burrow win a game where it was just him and he's running for his life behind a crappy offensive line. And we're talking in the playoffs. And with Stroud, it really looked like he needed a little bit more help against that Ravens game. Again, we're talking about a two-game sample size for Stroud, so maybe it's a little bit easier with Burrow to say, like, Burrow's had better moments. But Burrow has had better moments. Again, like Stroud's rookie year. So take that with a grain of salt. But there was some more recruiting potentially going on by C.J. Stroud during these Pro Bowl games, at least based off of the overly enthusiastic eyes of some on Houston Texans Twitter. Oh, my God. CJ's throwing the ball to Keenan Allen? Fourth and game, he's throwing the ball to Keenan Allen? Is CJ Stroud recruiting Keenan Allen? Now, Keenan's in the middle of a four-year contract and won't be a free agent until 2025, and you'd have to trade for him. But Keenan Allen, Texans? Question mark?
No matter how high you raise your voice, there's no way.
Look, Texans?
I like Keenan Allen, but even if you did want to trade for him, he's about to be 32. Like, what are you trading? What are you doing? You have no business building this team for the long term, trading for a 32-year-old wide receiver when you already have Nico and Tank.
Okay, I will say, though, you know, in response to that comment.
Is that ages, retort, maybe?
I do declare.
Oh, God.
When I look at Mike Evans is going to be 31 heading into this coming season, and you're going to give him a big long-term contract if you were to sign Mr. Evans. I do declare this man be a depreciating asset, as we do say down in my hometown of Middle Duluth, Puta, South Carolina.
I'm sorry, did you say Oompa Loompa?
I don't know what I said. I just was riffing. Stephon Diggs, Texans. So the Keenan Allen thing's not happening. They're not trading for a old wide receiver, as BMAC said. But Stephon Diggs, his cap hit for your 2024 is $30 million.
No.
Yeah. Look, but hang on.
Okay, make your point.
No, we're gonna. This is CJ Stroud talking with Stephon Diggs' nephew at the Pro Bowl.
He got bad habits from Stephon.
Bad habits from Stephon. Talking to Stephon Diggs' nephew, who dropped the pass to C.J. Stroud, threw to him. It was a perfect pass. Interesting. Diggs, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out for you in the NFL. Might have to call it a career at the age of 8. Sorry, that sucks. It happens. Sometimes we learn hard lessons in life. But C.J. Stroud saying Stephon Diggs has bad habits, and perhaps saying it sarcastically, knowing that Stephon Diggs was behind him, because Stephon Diggs is the epitome of diva wide receiver in the NFL in 2024, especially considering the fact they had a bunch of drops in big moments over the course of this year, and specifically against the Kansas City Chiefs, that big drop down the right sideline. Is CJ Stroud perhaps doing a different version of recruiting, which is called a neg? Where he is, by highlighting what Stephon Diggs doesn't do well, instead of kissing his ass all the time, he is somehow making himself a little bit more attractive to Stephon Diggs. So, look, Stephon Diggs, he's going to get cut probably by the Bills this offseason. It's clearly not working out. Whether it's him and Sean McDermott, him and the Bills offensive coaching staff, or him and Josh Allen, something's up. They're going to cut him. I would be shocked if they don't. maybe they'll trade
even
him as well.
Even with the dead cap, it's a massive cap hit.
And honestly, it's a bad situation for him.
I get it, but I had this conversation with some other people. This was fantasy football related because they were wondering about his value in a dynasty league. But when you look at his the amount of money that he has left, the amount of years he has left in the dead cap that creates, I don't see how they can get out of his contract until at least next year, maybe even the year after.
Whatever the case, Stephon Diggs as a potential free agent or someone that the Texans would trade for. I am out on this.
Oh, out.
Even
Huge
though C.J. Stroud is probably recruiting him here. C.J. Stroud is definitely recruiting him. He's doing it by negging, okay? So give the man some credit. Sometimes you do it through relentless positivity. Sometimes you got to do it by just...
You're speaking because negging's worked for you?
No, I've never done that.
You never tried it?
I probably should try it, honestly. Like the
try it tonight.
The kissing ass and doe eyes routine. It does not work. Does not work. All right, guys. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's lick Cal McNair's boot a little bit more in the next segment because, my God, there's some bad ownership situations across the NFL. Remember this conversation a year ago? We definitely weren't saying this, but, my God, it's looking a lot better. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg!
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I do think it's dumb that some of the people in our Twitch believe that talking about the NFL is a flawed strategy. Like, I don't get that. But again, they know radio better than me. They know it better than me. You know, what can I say? We do have another comment. Peyton Manning didn't ask for any receivers. He made the receivers around him great. C.J. Stroud can make Tank Dell and Nico Collins great. Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison. Ever heard of him? One of the best receivers ever. Syracuse grad. And don't tell Marvin Harrison he's not one of the best receivers of all time because the man may or may not have a bit of a temper. Look up
Philadelphia
car wash.
Yeah, don't encounter Marvin Harrison at a car wash.
Don't be calling out the service at a car wash. Peyton Manning didn't ask for receivers. He made the receivers great around him great. Not in the playoffs. Also, to go a little bit further with that, listen, we have high standards here at the Paul Gallant Show. We are going above Peyton Manning. Above.
And he had Reggie Wayne, too.
James.
That comment's acting like he was dealing with a bunch of pores at wide receiver. He had two Hall of Famers.
Dallas Clark was like a top five tight end at the time. Like, listen, sure, working with Peyton Manning, it was a lot better. Worth Peyton Manning, obviously. But at the same time, like, come on. Come on. We're gonna act like none of those guys were good. It's also kind of disrespectful to Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Nico Collins had a damn good year. Big guy, speed, ability to separate. Clearly a good player. Tank Dell, clearly a good player. Helps having a good quarterback. But listen, don't act like these guys are making it all happen. Unless it's Tom Brady, who's doing it with insert token random white slot receiver. And on top of that, like resurrecting Randy Moss's career. And on top of that,
Troy
Brown, David Patton, David Givens, I can list over and over again. What? He did resurrect Randy Moss's career, Brian. What are you talking about?
Welker and Edelman are just random white slot receivers?
Based off of the production and the fact that nobody else wanted them, this is partly Belichick giving him credit for looking at these guys and saying that I can reinvent the game by bringing these guys in. But again, Belichick did nothing over that entire run. But, you know, that's what a lot of the haters will say. But, yeah, with Brady, those guys became great because that was what Brady needed. And
I mean, Gronk. I mean, look,
Gronk, yes.
The first three titles, I'm with you. They had a bunch of, you know, the Troy Browns. They didn't have the higher elite wide receivers. The second group, or the second three titles in 14, 16, and 18, I think it was a little bit better for Brady than I'm not saying he didn't elevate, but he wasn't dealing with a bunch of pores out there.
Compared to Peyton Manning, he was.
Okay, you're right. Compared to Peyton Manning,
so
I'm with you.
We're going to ask anything for CJ. Let's make the Tom Brady comparisons, okay? Okay! Patrick Mahomes had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Anyway, hey, guys, I like to lick boots. I do. I do, especially if they pay me. No, no, no person that's tapping
their foot. Has anyone asked in Vegas?
Someone's tapping their foot next to the stall after hearing that. No.
You might want to say that a little bit quieter while you're in the Vegas bathroom.
Come back at noon again. We are live by Radio Row in Las Vegas from a non-handicapped stall. I like licking boots, though. Not your boots. Stop. Stop stopping the boot. Stop. I like licking boots, specifically, whether it's Jim Crane after he does something fancy, or if it's Texans owner Cal McNair when he does something nice.
Can Texans owner Cal McNair do anything wrong?
We have high hopes of where it's going to go. I think it's going to be really exciting times for Texans.
Let us all gather around and lick the boot of the greatest owner in Houston sports by making fun of other bad owners.
I hope you've washed your ass this morning. It's about to be kissed.
Let's kiss a little ass, huh? Who would have thought that Texans owner Cal McNair would look better than, one, the new Commanders owner? Because the new Commanders owner looks like an effing baby. Imagine being the Commanders and after missing out on Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, leaking that Ben Johnson basically stiffed us. Ben Johnson, per The Athletic, reportedly didn't tell the Commanders he was planning to stay in Detroit until his agent texted Washington representatives while they were already on the plane to Michigan to interview him, which has led to multiple unnamed NFL sources taking anonymous shots at how the 37-year-old conducted himself. One high-ranking executive called it a poor choice to inform Commanders representatives in the way Johnson did while they were already in the air, but also attempted to understand Johnson's line of thinking, saying, I get a feeling he still thinks he needs time. Who knows? Pause for a moment. Okay, are we kidding here? Does this jet not have Wi-Fi? You guys can't figure it out until midair? Oh, no! Ben Johnson's polluting the environment. He made us fly here only to turn around. Shut up! Oh, my God. What a soft ownership group. You guys are just in on the job, and you sound exactly like Daniel Snyder. By the way, the same Commanders ownership group said, oh, yeah, well, we offered Mike McDonald money, but the Seahawks just came in with more. The Seahawks are not a team with a lot of money. They're not. They're kind of cash-strapped. They're trying to sell. They don't have that much money. And you got outbid for Mike McDonald, and then Ben Johnson was like, yeah, I don't want to work here. And this is how you respond to it. Are we sure Daniel Snyder's not still in charge? Are we sure? This is all Daniel Snyder 2.0 already. It's funny these people come in and they think they know what they're doing. And then they do this. Are we even a full NFL season into the Josh Harris reign? In D.C.? Didn't it happen like the first couple of weeks of the season or something like that? Oh, my God. What a bunch of babies. And then on top of that, you got all the NFL reporters carrying the water for the owner saying, like, this was reprehensible what Ben Johnson did. Hey, listen, not his fault that you guys flew out there. Not his fault. Maybe you should have waited a little bit before deciding to fly up there. Anyway, more licking the boot of Cal McNair. Arthur Blank better be dealing with a minor medical issue. Better be dealing with it. By the way, I think Jim Irsay is still dealing with his minor medical issue. It's BS to leave your team president and your team general manager out there to field questions about not hiring Bill Belichick. Because they did not hire Bill Belichick. And any press conference with Raheem Morris, sorry for Raheem Morris, but it's going to feature a lot of questions about Bill Belichick. But Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, was not there for his new head coach's introduction. Falcons owner Arthur Blank did not attend Raheem Morris' introductory news conference Monday because of what his spokesman called a, quote, minor medical issue. Again, better be one. I hate to say it like that, but I hope he's okay. But at the same time, like, this is a bad look. Blank watched from home but intends to travel to the Super Bowl later this week. Okay, so...
So he can travel to the Super Bowl but he can't support his new coach?
To me, this does not seem like it's that big of a deal.
It's only, you know, look, I'm in really bad shape, but this Vegas is going to be a hell of a party. I'll make that exception.
Hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if he's coming out to Vegas, maybe we can get him on the show.
That's true. Maybe he'll come
if
in.
If he double taps on the stall next to you, maybe we can get Arthur Blank on.
I could be like the Joker in the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. I could be like the Joker with Bruce Wayne's dad, Thomas Wayne. R.I.P. R.I.P. in peace. Anyway, they were asked about Bill Belichick. Belichick was obviously a very serious candidate. You can't have anything but respect for what he has done. At the end of the day, it was about who. It was about what was the best fit for him. What does that mean? It's very clear that there was one person who stood out, and that was Raheem Morris. Is something else that was said at this press conference. Jesus. Oh. Anyway, that is licking the boot of Cal McNair, because he is not those NFL owners. It wasn't that long ago. I remember friends of mine said, Kyle McNair is the worst owner in the NFL. Not anymore. How about that? Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Up next, guys, we are whores for ratings. And yeah, we are on Radio Row, by Radio Row from a non-handicap stall. But also, we still have some guests that are supposed to stop by. Maybe Frank Thomas. But also, we have to cater to the people and what they want. Oh, they don't want Texans talk? Well, I got something special for you on the other side. Paul Galacho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya game powder.
It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadly poisons known to man.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can jump in or text in 713-780-3776. On YouTube, like, subscribe at ESPN Houston, also on Twitch. We are live by Radio Row in Las Vegas before Super Bowl 58 from a non-handicapped stall. Anyone who is watching on those two mediums know that this is just impressive green screen technology thanks to the vast funds of Gal Media. This is the best run as far as digital content goes. This is the best run provider of digital content in sports radio here in Houston. So, guys, I know that most of you would prefer that I talk about the Houston Texans over and over again. We've done some of that. We've even taken you behind the kimono just to show you how things are made over at the flagship. We look at some options in free agency. We just look Cal McNair's boot. But, I mean, we are a show that's all about the ratings. We have a segment dedicated to the Dallas Cowboys, for God's sakes. We also have a segment dedicated to something else that has been sweeping the nation and honestly, perhaps changing the way that the NFL is covered forever. I'm, of course, talking about the love found in a hopeless place, 2024, you know, the world's ending, global warming, non-human intelligence, terrible politicians, etc., downfall of America. All of those things are happening, but the one thing that is getting us through it all is the love between two famous people, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's time for an episode of Taylor Swift Watch.
Taylor Swift Watch. 'Cause the players gonna play, 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 play. And the haters gonna hate, 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 hate. 2024. Shake
it off, shake it off. Roger Goodell, the redheaded hammer himself, was asked about the Taylor Swift effect on the NFL during his propaganda State of the Union, which he does every single year, and he only allows a couple of questions to be asked by people he doesn't know because he'll generally get asked a hardball question like, why did you falsely imprison Tom Brady 4 games for no reason at all? But, you know, I've looked the other way on a lot of different other things, like Ray Rice, you got the same kind of suspension. It's Tom Brady originally, whatever. Here's Roger Goodell talking about Taylor Swift.
Having the Taylor Swift effect is also a positive. Listen, they're both Travis and Taylor are wonderful young people. They seem very happy. She knows great entertainment, and I think that's why she loves NFL football. But I think it's great to have have her a part of it. Obviously, it creates a buzz. It creates another group of young fans, particularly young women, that are interested in seeing why is she going to this game? Why is she interested in this game? Besides Travis, she is a football fan. And I think that's great for us.
He's speaking like a true politician there. It would be great if Goodell was a meathead like Dana White in UFC. Or, I don't know. Just said, like, yeah, it's nice to see some more broads at the stadium. It would be great.
Glad this is no longer a sausage fest.
Yeah. Finally could go to a stadium and maybe get laid finally for a change. Hell yeah. Hey, ladies, I'm Roger Goodell. You know I work out. In that book that was written about some of the things going on behind the scenes in the NFL, Roger Goodell's very obsessed with his workout regimen and thinks very highly of his fitness. And hey, you know what? Shout out to him. Doing it at a late age. I think it's very funny that along the way there, Roger Goodell said that Taylor Swift is a fan of the NFL because of the product that it is. No.
Did we see her in games before she just started dating Travis Kelce?
So listen, I'm not hating on her as a football fan, but she is from Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area. She is technically an Eagles fan. Her father is an Eagles fan. If she was a fan of the NFL's product, she would be a diehard Eagles fan while dating Travis Kelce, which would honestly be kind of cool. It would be kind of cool that, like, people who root for different teams and maybe facing each other in the Super Bowl, they can like one another. And maybe that's how Taylor Swift got to watching Travis Kelce in last year's Super Bowl. She was like, oh, look at that tall, strapping man. I love him. As she watched her beloved Eagles get taken
Taylor
down
Swift
by the Chiefs. Yes, that's what she sounds like. I think that this is all about the love between these two, okay? Speaking of love, every Houston Texans fan loved David Carr, the work ethic that he had, right? The amount of time that he dedicated to
his craft. We love the storylines about when he would and when he would not cut his hair. That was always important to
definitely.
Us.
Definitely. It was always interesting to see how many times he could get sacked in a season. He was pushing the boundaries for
76, I believe we found out.
Correct. Masochism, he pushed the boundaries. He's like Paul Giamatti on Billions. Anyway, David Carr had this to say about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce as it relates to Super Bowl 58 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, who have another tight end named George Kittle. So that's David Carr. Okay. I got to say, David, as far as jokes, maybe work on your material. She chose the wrong tight end. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think you could do better. We have some Taylor Swift related prop bets. Which will be higher? Taylor Swift live shots +150 or Travis Kelce catches -200? Oh, you got to take the shots. You got to take the shots. It's going to be a lot of downtime in this game. As the game gets to the end, you're going to be seeing a lot of crowd reactions. I mean, I believe the Super Bowl's on CBS this year. CBS knows how their bread is buttered. And if they get people to talk about the Super Bowl broadcast, that is a win for them. They're 100% going to show a lot of Taylor Swift.
I actually think I would take the Travis Kelce side of this. Okay. I mean, because I think he's going to get to, I mean, if the Chiefs are going to win, he's going to get to 7, 8, maybe 9 catches. And I know Taylor Swift has shown a lot, but she's not shown, like, I can't remember who it was. Someone talked about in a response to people complaining about how much Taylor Swift was on the show. It's like, we actually only showed her for like 90 seconds during the game. That's maybe only 4 or 5 shots.
Honestly, I've said this before. I wouldn't mind more.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of people wonder about my persuasion. And hey, you know what? If you want to keep wondering, you can. But eye candy, always good for me. I'm an idiot. I am an idiot meathead, okay? I am what I am. I'm drawn to shiny objects constantly. That's why I'll never be truly happy. I always want what this shiny object I can't have. More Taylor Swift-related prop bets. Where will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift? Vacation -200. The field, non-end zone, +400. Podium, +500. End zone, +600. After party, +800. Oh, yeah, proposing at an after party. Honestly, that might be the way. Tunnel, +2,000. Locker room,
plus 2,500. That would be so hilarious.
The last,
in front of a bunch of naked dudes, Travis Kelce drops to one knee. In front of people who might be packing more heat than him.
Well, I was about to say, to David Carr's...
And proposes to Taylor Swift. Like, that is something I'd love to see.
To David Carr's point, he waits to the locker room. Maybe she looks at her other options and says no.
Yeah. Maybe she likes certain people for their assets.
Sure. But these last two, tunnel and locker room. I mean, come on. That has to be the worst proposal ever.
Honestly, I think Travis should shoot for the worst proposal ever.
Tunnel. No cameras.
I would love to see Swifties melt down over the way Travis Kelce proposes. And either one, call him like toxic masculinity embodied. Or two, somehow spin zone it that, wow, this was actually the most romantic proposal ever. This will happen, by the way.
Can he propose on his podcast?
If there is a proposal, this is 100% how it will be broken down.
Oh, I can't believe Travis Kelce proposed to her like that.
Or,
oh my God, it's so romantic. Why did he propose to her?
Just like that. That's how it sounds. And one last Taylor Swift-related prop bet. Who will be shirtless first? Jason Kelce, -10,000. Taylor Swift, +2,000. Oh, North Carolina going to raise up, take your shirt off, twist it on your head like a helicopter.
You got my attention now.
Olivia Culpo.
Hello.
Girlfriend of Christian McCaffrey, arguably the most beautiful woman on the planet, +2,500. Well, I know what we're all rooting for.
I'm rooting for the +2,500.
B-Mac, I'm not a pig like you.
I'm rooting for a good game. You're meathead. You just said it.
I'm rooting for a good game.
Oh, come on.
I'm rooting for a good game.
What are you going to tell me next? You're just rooting for them all have fun?
Yeah. Exactly.
Come on, meathead Paul. Say it.
All right. That's going to wrap up our Taylor Swift Watch 2024. We're still efforting to get Frank Thomas, the big hurt, in because we're doing... Radio Row, guys. We are in Las Vegas, too. Maybe not as fancy as the flagship, but we are live by Radio Row from a non-handicapped stall. Maybe we'll get Frank Thomas in here before the end. And a little garbage time, too, where we got to say goodbye to a legend. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston. Well, on FM, that is. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
We are live in Las Vegas by Radio Row from a non-handicapped stall. Don't let the video ESPN Houston's YouTube channel or Twitch fool you. It's just amazing green screen technology, but we are in a stall. And again, my legs are a little bit numb. Do have a quick Rockets update. They're at the Pacers tonight, who have acquired Pascal Siakam. This is a better team than the Rockets. And they're going to be without Fred VanVleet, who's got a left adductor strain. I don't know how long he's going to be out. I'm not a doctor. Per Google, it could be from 2 weeks to 4 months. You hope it's just 2 weeks. Because otherwise, they're going to see a lot of bad ball handling for the Rockets. I mean, that was a big problem last year. Like, you had to actually see Deshaun Knicks run the point from time to time. That was not NBA basketball. You hope that someone's able to step in here and be that guy. Is this learning on the job opportunity for Amen Thompson? Is this a learn on the job opportunity for Jalen Green, whose assist numbers have gone up of late? I don't know. I'm just saying. Without Fred VanVleet, Rockets basketball might be pretty tough to watch. Maybe not as bad as Syracuse Saturday night basketball, but pretty damn ugly in the immediate future. So there you go. All right. Okay.
Do we have a guest?
I think BMAC. We finally have a guest.
Well, we got him. Okay, I wasn't sure if he's coming on.
I see two. He keeps on stomping. Hang on. Wait your turn. Okay, he's knocking on the door now, and I'm looking through the crack. Yep, that is the big hurt. Now I don't know if I'm going to be able to fit in here with you, dude. Now we didn't really think this one through about the guests.
We might need the handicap stall for the big hurt.
We're going to have to do the handicap stall tomorrow. It's just a note. Keep in mind. All right. So Frank Thomas, he is here with us, and I believe he is brought to us by his friends at Nugenix. Now, Frank, first question, because we are on Radio Row, I need your take on C.J. Stroud's rookie season with the Houston Texans.
Here, try a bottle. And trust me, she'll like it too.
Well, hang on. No. Frank, we get it. It's Nugenix. I appreciate you offering me the bottle, okay? I would love to have more stamina and to last all night and for her to love it too. But Frank, no, we brought you here for a reason, and I want you to tell us about what you're expecting from the Houston Texans going forward with C.J. Stroud.
And you know what else, Frank?
Oh, yeah. She'll like it, too.
Wow. Hey, Terrell. There's a line.
It's getting really tight in this bathroom
there's
stall.
There's a line. That was Terrell Owens, who was joining in with Frank Thomas. He's also – you guys, I get it. Like,
three
I appreciate
people.
The bottles. I only have two hands. There's not enough bottles. There's not enough space in here. I'm cramped up. Okay, Frank and Terrell Owens. And Terrell, you look ripped. You didn't need to take your shirt off. You look good. Come on. We got to do it one thing at a time. Tio, we'll have you on tomorrow. We'll have you on tomorrow, okay? All right. So Tio is leaving. God. He's leaving the bathroom stall.
We really should put a sign on the front of the bathroom stall.
We should.
Two people at a time.
No, but hang on, though, because we don't want to get kicked out. We don't want to get kicked out like 790 did that one time, where
just,
they didn't actually have
access.
We'll
put it in code, and we'll text our guests.
And then they blame Josh
for
getting kicked off of Radio Row when they actually never got credentialed for it, which is very convenient, huh? Anyway, hey, Frank, sorry, we're getting off topic here, but look, if you're not going to do any conversation other than Nugenix, is Nugenix perhaps the key to me finding my someone?
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Okay. That's all we're getting from Frank today. Frank, the big hurt, we appreciate you for your baseball career, and we appreciate you for never being a part of the steroid era, even though, ironically, you are now advertising something that seems very similar to steroids. I guess it's just boner pills, right? No, it's not a boner pill. Oh, okay. Okay, Frank. Sorry. That's Frank's people.
But she will like it too, though.
No, sorry in advance for Gal Media perhaps getting sued for me suggesting that Nugenix is just a boner pill. Paul Gawacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Time for a little bit of garbage time.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
So, this is actually some very sad news, and I'm not a country music fan per se, but Toby Keith passed away from stomach cancer at age 62. That's a really young age. I did not know he was 6'4". That's pretty cool. Toby Keith is someone that I will remember in the country music genre because this song just is as American as it gets. And for those who don't remember, I'm just going to let Toby take it away.
His right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be
gonna put a boot in your ass.
When you hear Mother Freedom start a
say one last time, Toby.
Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Very sad news today. That is one of my favorite America jams. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in, our YouTube audience at ESPN Houston. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. Twitch, texters, callers, tweeters, and of course, Brian McDonald and for Sean Mapes the last couple of days. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Connor and Beard are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. Peace!
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.